Welcome to the Campbell Conversations. I'm Grant Reher. Well, it's been talked about and talked about, but still there is no final resolution of it. What will or should happen with I-81 in Syracuse? It's been called the biggest decision in a generation for the city, something that could be genuinely transformative. Joining me today are guests for the first part of a two-part series on the topic. I've asked two proponents of what is referred to as the grid option to speak with me today. And on a later program, I'll speak with two local leaders who perceive significant problems with that grid option and are not in favor of it. But in support of the grid, I have with me today New York State Assemblywoman Pam Hunter and Syracuse urban developer Robert Doucette. Assemblywoman Hunter represents the 128th Assembly District, which includes parts of the city of Syracuse and most of the immediately surrounding areas. Robert Doucette is president of Armory Development and Management and part owner of Paramount Realty. Both of them have appeared previously on our show to talk about other topics, but Assemblywoman Hunter and Bob, welcome back to the program.
Thank you.
So, Assemblywoman, let me start with you, and I have just the most basic of questions, and then we'll get into to some of the arguments for this thing. But even though I think most of our listeners probably know what the grid option is, let's just start with that. So can you give me just a brief thumbnail sketch? What is the grid option? And then we'll get into later why you think it's the best option.
The grid option is the future. And that's what I'm telling everyone that I'm speaking with. It's a new way for our future to be able to move around more easily and have less of a carbon footprint, to be able to connect neighborhoods and communities in the county ways that we've never been able to do before.
And so, Bob, to follow up on that, what specifically, though, in terms of the nuts and bolts, is the grid option? I mean, what does this mean? It means doing what to the highway, and what will replace it?
It's really quite simple. The highway, the overhead, the viaduct will come down, and the street grid, which was there before and operated extremely well, will be reconstituted. And as Assemblyman Hunter suggested, this will enable us to reconnect neighborhoods that were cut off. It will give us different options for getting from one place to the other. And in the end, we'll make everything a lot more efficient in terms of traffic. And it will provide a much more livable environment for the people who live near that monstrosity that is existing right there now.
So on the ground then, and either of you who wants to take this, the boulevard or whatever it is that we're going to call this that's going to essentially replace the elevated highway, what is that going to look like? Give me some comparison to something else where I can say it's going to be like this avenue or this type of...
You know, for those of familiar with Syracuse, you can just go one street over it and look at State Street, and that's pretty much what you're going to get, it's got a median in the middle of it, and it's two roads divided by a median. That's basically it. I've heard it being compared by some of the opponents of this as an Erie Boulevard, which could not be further from the truth. It's not anything like Erie Boulevard. It's an urban street that handles in terms of traffic counts relatively few cars every day. We have more cars on Salina Street than will probably be on this road, or just as many practically. And it's really, you know, the DOT has studied this, and they're the ones who have concluded that the streets have their underutilized capacity and can easily handle the traffic that's going to be on these streets.
Okay, we'll get into that particular part of the argument in a little more depth in a minute. But Assemblywoman Hunter, I'm sure that you've weighed this and you've looked at this and thinking about your position on it. But in terms of, I just want to try to separate the issues out as best I can. But let's take this one piece of this. Let's just think about, in terms of creating the finished product, whether it's the grid, whether it's rebuilding the elevated highway, or whether it's some kind of hybrid tunnel option, which one of those, in terms of making it, do you think would be most disruptive to the status quo, the actual process of of creating that outcome, of building it, which is the easiest one in a sense of the disruption that's going to go on during those 4, 5 or maybe longer years that this is going to go on.
It's interesting that you asked that question, because there will be no easiest. And I think that that's why so many opponents of the community grid are so fearful. It's almost like being paralyzed with fear of change. But the amount of time that it's going to take to get to whatever the final product is going to be will be disruptive for so many people for so many years. They'll be happy with the final product. So you're not going to take down the bridge tomorrow and say, now we start. There has to be so much work in advance of getting to the final product. I think that's where we're losing focus in the conversation. I think because we're not having conversations now with the folks who are absolutely opposed to the community grid. And I have talked to those people. I have talked to the municipal leaders for 3 years. You know, I have weighed and I have listened and I have waited and I've attended meetings. And I said, I will listen to constituents and I will take feedback. I will not be rash in, you know, my decision. My district is expansive, other than when I represented on the city council. And so it was not a hasty, you know, decision getting to I support the community grid. It is, I will get all of the facts and listen to the community. But most of the fear that folks have is based on the unknown, based on wanting things to be the way our community was before. And it's not that way now. I think that if we're able to sit down and have a conversation, you know, and say, okay, maybe we disagree. But one thing we have to agree on is the fact that regardless of what change is going to happen, traffic's going around 41. Traffic is going to have to be diverted. What are we going to do about Centro? What are we going to do about 41? We need to be having all of those conversations about what is going to get to our final solution, which hopefully will be the community grid. But we still need to have those conversations. And people are unwilling to even budge and having collaborative conversations about things that absolutely are going to have to take place before we even get to any of the final solutions.
That's an important point. I'm Grant Reher, and I'm speaking with developer Robert Doucette and New York State Assemblywoman Pam Hunter. And we're discussing the replacement of I-81 in Syracuse. On that point, Bob, I think if you haven't really looked at the issue very deeply, and I think probably most folks haven't investigated it terribly deeply, it does at least sound like it would be, in a sense, less disruptive to just rebuild the elevated highway rather than create some whole new thing. So can you speak to that piece about the disruption in that regard?
I mean, I think without question, the most disruptive of the options is the tunnel. Because the study that was done especially to study the tunnel said it could take anywhere from 8 to 10 years to complete that project. I mean, that far and away will take the longest. The rebuilding of the and I would have to defer to somebody from the DOT on this, but I think that the replacing of the viaduct and rebuilding it and creating the grid is right around the same time frame, which they estimate to be like 3 or 4 years. So I think that those two are about the same, but the tunnel is that's going to be nuts. I mean, I think that we only have to look to Boston to see what happened to the Big Dig, which was about, you know, it cost 10 times as much and it took, you know, 5 times as long to build it was supposed to be built. I mean, does Syracuse want to be in that kind of disruption for no benefit, as far as I'm concerned, for that long period of time? I mean, I just ask everybody to answer that question. I mean, it seems like madness to me.
So let me try to get in now to the arguments in favor of the grid. And you've touched upon some of them already, both of you. But I want to try to break them down. And so breaking down the reasons for the grid, I think there's two categories that kind of come to my mind. First one is, what problems that have been historically introduced by the elevated highway will the grid address? So there's that issue, kind of a looking backwards in some ways, mm-hmm. as well as forwards. Mm-hmm. And then the other piece is, what other additional benefits, other than the ones that were introduced by the elevated highway, can the grid provide? Mm-hmm. And so, Assemblywoman Hunter, let's start with this first one, the problems that were introduced by that elevated highway, what it did to those neighborhoods. How do you see that, and how do you see how the grid might address that and alleviate whatever those problems were?
Well, it has divided a community. Just with that monstrosity, this gray steel barrier has divided literally the community. And it's divided the community in most ways from the south side to the Eds and Meds area, going up into the, you know, university area. And I think for me, I've not lived in Syracuse for 50 years, so I don't know the Syracuse before the elevated highway, but I know I've talked to lots of folks who did live here and know that, you know, what was being sold was urban renewal, and we're making a change, and this is going to be great, and it was purposeful. It was a purposeful decision to put the structure in there, and what was even more purposeful is allowed concentrated poverty to happen. And we have an opportunity now. We have a duty now to say, we will take this bridge down. We are going to open this up because it's not necessary. But we have to be purposeful in saying, we're not going to allow the urban renewal of the past to be the new normal for the next generation. We're making decisions not for ourselves. And I think that's where people are getting hung up. I want to get to X quicker. Well, in 3 or 5 or 10 years, when finally we get to the, you know, outcome, you know, I'll probably be, eligible for Social Security. Well, maybe not quite, but, you know, people will have moved away. People will have moved in. We're making this decision for the next generation and for generations going forward. It's not for me. It's not for my convenience of getting to XYZ quicker. And I think people need to stop thinking singularly and thinking about what do we want our community to look forward to in the future. And I would say that the district I represent that has a high concentration of poverty, that I would like the district to not look like poverty in the future.
You're listening to the Campbell Conversations on WRVO Public Media. I'm Grant Reher, and I'm discussing the future of I-81 in Syracuse with New York State Assemblywoman Pam Hunter and Syracuse urban developer Robert Doucette. This is the first part of a two-part series looking at the issue, and today the focus is on the case in favor of the grid option as a replacement for the elevated highway. Bob, I wanted to pick up on something that the Assemblywoman said before about how the elevated highway was one of the instruments that led to the concentration of poverty in that area of the city. And the Assemblywoman was referring to the network of housing projects that are there underneath and on either side. Is it the case then that addressing that means that what develops in terms of mixed income housing and other kinds of ideas, such as we're beginning to hear now with Blueprint 15, for example, or other projects that I think are probably out there, that's kind of part of the grid option in a sense, that these two things are kind of intertwined in a way that they can't be separated?
Well, yes, because the grid option allows the opportunity for that to happen, because it opens up much more land that can be used for development, and it takes down that barrier which has isolated people for the last 50 years. That it provides that opportunity for them to do that.
But it also then is incumbent on local leaders, business people, developers like yourself, but also public officials then to make sure that what comes in the wake of that then reflects the kinds of goals, Assemblywoman, that you were talking about, which is not to be an area of hyper-concentrated poverty, which is what it is now.
It is incumbent upon all of us to make sure that we get this right for the future. And it can't just be take it down and we'll build it and we promise to do something better. We owe it to the community to do better, to consciously make decisions to make this better. Because rhetoric is high, the community is divided, and, you know, quite frankly, because of the indecision and the lack of transparency and the lack of information, the divisiveness that has been created is everywhere in our community relative to you're either for or against. And this is where we are right now. It's either you're with me or you're against me. You're either, you know, for the grid or you're not. You're either, you know, for the replacement or you're not. And there is, it's like there's no room for even a negotiation, as what I had said, you know, in the beginning. But we are all in this together. There is no, I support the community grid, but I am very, very, very concerned about the community I represent in Salina, the community that I represent in Onondaga and DeWitt. This affects them as well, too. I've reached out to every single one of those municipal leaders. I said, yes, I support the grid, but I want to talk and work with you to say, what is it that you need in order to move us forward? And people, again, like I said, I'm dug in. This is where I'm at, and I don't want to have another conversation. We move nowhere forward together if we're unwilling to have conversations.
That was one of the things about this. As it's evolved, that has concerned me the most is that it does seem like we've gotten to a point where some advocates on either side are really asserting some pretty negative things about the characters and the ultimate motivations of people who have opposing mm-hmm. views. I've seen this going back and forth, and it's a concern. So I'm glad you're speaking to that. Well, let's shift to the other piece of this then. What are some of the other benefits beyond trying to address the harms that were done by the elevated highway? What are some of the other benefits that might come out of a grid option? Bob, are there other things out there that, yes, that could blossom because of
yes.
this?
Yes. I mean, let me try to tick them off if I can. One, it's way less expensive. This is the least expensive option, and this is what's going to require the least of taxpayer monies. That's number one. It takes down the fewest number of buildings so that our historic fabric and center in the city will remain and also will remain on the tax rolls. This option, the community grid, gives us the largest swath of land which can be developed, and thereby putting more buildings back on the tax rolls and providing the kinds of income that, frankly, this city and this county need. It will reconnect downtown, the south side, with the Syracuse University Hill and the hospital system, which has been divided for all of these years. Mm. It will allow us and the transportation system to have more exits and entrances off of 81 and will allow for what people are not understanding, I don't think, is that it will create a more efficient system of traffic and allow people to get places quicker. What I think that it's so frustrating for me sometimes in talking to people, and I understand that they really haven't delved deeply into the issue, but you have to understand that 88% of the traffic using that viaduct is local traffic. It's people coming in and out of the Syracuse for their work, their play, whatever. Only 13% of the traffic is bypass traffic. It's that's only through traffic. It's a very small amount of traffic that can be handled by 481, and that detour, by the way, according to the Department of Transportation of the state of New York, takes approximately 6 minutes. That's what we're talking about. That's mm-hmm. the amount of time that it takes to travel around the city as opposed to going through it. Now, that's not
6 minutes longer.
Okay. Right. But that's not even given the account, I'd like to have people from the other side address and people who are the proponents of the tunnel, is that I believe the post that tunnels are about 45 miles an hour, and tunnels back up. And the other thing, Grant, that people I don't think understand is you have to get in and out of a tunnel. So in order to get in and out of a tunnel, you have to have sloping roads that go down and then come up. Those roads cut off streets. So, again, that will disrupt our traffic pattern. Mm-hmm. We won't have as many streets to go east and west, and therefore it's going to be harder for you to get around.
If you just joined us, you're listening to the Campbell Conversations on WRVO Public Media. And my guests are Robert Doucette, an assemblywoman Pam Hunter. Assemblywoman Hunter, is there anything to what Bob just said that you want to add in terms of additional arguments in favor?
Yeah, I do. I think that we've seen a resurgence in the past 10 years of development downtown, and I think that we need to make sure that we're concentrating on, you know, spreading it. Obviously, mm-hmm. there's only but so much land down there, so this will provide more opportunity to for growth, which obviously shows the necessity for that. We see a lot more people moving into the city of Syracuse, even though we keep hearing reports of people fleeing New York and fleeing. We do see we have 99% occupancy rate downtown, so that obviously means that people are living there, and I think that that's very important. You know, new buildings that are built obviously create property tax on the tax rolls, which I think is very important, especially as we're talking about my level at, you know, a 2% property tax cap and municipalities being constricted and, you know, the city itself having, you know, limited funds. This is something that we need to think about as well. But again, we're talking about the future. We're talking about how do we want the future to be. And, you know, quite frankly, we need to be talking about, you know, the evolution of traffic and transit. And that doesn't necessarily mean more cars. It means a place that has less of a carbon footprint and more walkability. And I just want to be clear, because I say this many times when we talk about walkability. Syracuse is completely walkable, because you can talk to many of my constituents who have no car and have only the way to get around by walking. And many times when folks are saying we want it to be more walkable, a lot of times it's people who have cars, you know, who say, well, maybe I want more of a bike lane or green, you know, space in order to walk. And for me, it needs to be expansive of that, but we also need to have conversation relative to transportation needs relative to this. And I think being able to have the conversation about the community grid absolutely will expand the conversation on the folks who've been walking the city for all these many years that, you know, we can now put in a place to have more expansive public transportation, because there will be less cars. This is the way of the future. This is what people are talking about. People are not talking about more footprint, more cars. We're talking about scooters. I just came back from Nashville. They're all over the place, and this is what people are doing. So I think we have to stop being paralyzed with change and fear and think about the things that we can talk about in fixing together, and knowing that this is for the next generation. It's not for us for right now.
So we've only got about 5 minutes left. I want to try to squeeze in two or maybe three more questions. And what I want to do now is flip everything around. Mm-hmm. So, Bob, come back to you with this. And paraphrasing John Stuart Mill, if you only know your side of the argument, you don't know the argument, mm-hmm. right? So I want to ask you, as succinctly as you can, maybe even one sentence if you want to make it that succinct, what do you think is the most powerful and most legitimate argument against the grid? What's the best argument against?
Whew, man, that's a tough question. What I've heard is that that the city requires a high-speed throughway through the city, and that's number one. And number two, that somehow if we don't have a tunnel or whatever, it's going to be Carmageddon on the streets. Mm. And so those are the two arguments I've heard against it. I've got answers to both of those, but you asked me for what I thought the arguments for the other side were, and that's what I've been hearing.
In a similar version, Assemblywoman Hunter, you alluded to earlier that you thought a long time about taking a position, and you did sort of take a position. I don't mean this in any kind of pejorative way, but it's kind of late in the process. You were considering things. So I'm guessing that you were looking at these other arguments and weighing them. Which one against the grid was the one that you had to get most comfortable with having a good answer to?
I think it has to do with the changing of what a community has lived with for the past 50 years. Because you're talking about, again, you know, I go back to the conversation about, you know, moving things forward and listening to having conversations saying, I need this, you know, highway to come because it comes directly to my business, and I'm going to be decimated if the highway doesn't come directly to me. That concerns me. Mm-hmm. I don't want people to be out of business. I don't want people to not have jobs, you know, and hearing conversations about, you know, and mind you, the majority of my district is not in the city of Syracuse. It actually is in the suburbs. So I did not take this lightly, mm-hmm. you know, in coming forward and having this conversation relative to what will the new traffic pattern look like for the people who, you know, are going to have a new traffic pattern. Because, again, when we put this bridge in 50 years ago, the people who we, you know, put this in the middle of weren't consulted. The bridge was put there. And so making sure, you know, we listen and get it right. And I don't feel like that there is one argument that one person can say saying, but you didn't hear this. I have exhausted, you know, every example that have, you know, has been able to have been provided to me, you know, in these 3 years.
So with a couple minutes left, Bob, let's also imagine, what if the decision is to rebuild the elevated viaduct? It's possible it could happen. What if it does? And it's, again, since we only have about a couple minutes here, what is the one most important thing, if that were to happen, that you think needs to be paid attention to do and to make sure happens, if that is the decision?
Well, I would hope that there would be a heavy emphasis on design to see whether we can find some way to mitigate the barrier-like effect that that kind of overhead structure has on the city. That would be my only hope. I'd be terribly disappointed if that was the decision, but that's the only thing I can come up with.
And we only have about a minute, and Assemblywoman Hunter, it looked like you were going to scream when I asked this, but let me ask you the same question. Let's say it is the viaduct. What is the most important thing you're going to want to be making sure gets done or doesn't happen in less than a minute?
That a community, regardless of the community, isn't, you know, put into a position with a position going forward where they are going to be having generational poverty for another generation. It could happen. And you know, we have to be purposeful about that. And my concern, too, is if we replace what is currently up there now, we're not going to be in any different position in 50 more years when that bridge needs to come down, because then we're going to have to make another decision as well.
That was Pam Hunter and Robert Doucette. And again, we will be hearing the case against the grid in an upcoming program, so keep a lookout for that. Assemblywoman Hunter and Bob, thank you so much for taking the time to talk with me.
Thank you.
You've been listening to the Campbell Conversations on WRVO Public Media, conversations in the public interest.
The Campbell Conversations, Conversations in the Public Interest, was hosted and produced by Grant Reher, engineered by Tom Fazio, and edited by Jason Smith. The Campbell Conversations is a joint production of the Campbell Public Affairs Institute at Syracuse University and WRVO Public Media. To learn more about the program or to hear previous interviews, visit wrvo.org/Campbell Conversations.